Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 43. In verse 1, the Word of God says, "But now, thus says the Lord that created you." That's an amazing way to start. This is what God says, the same one that created you. In other words, take this seriously. Take this with the weight that it should have. This is what God says that created you, O Jacob, and that formed you, O Israel. Now, he called him Jacob because he was both talking to the carnal, and he called him Israel because he was also talking to the spiritual. And so he says, "Thus says the Lord," this is what God is saying, "that created you, O Jacob, O carnal man, and that formed you, O spiritual man." In other words, the one that took the carnal man and turned him into the spiritual man. "Don't be afraid." Sit right there. Fear not. Don't be afraid. "For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine." This is what God says. The very God that made me, the very God that took me from a carnal man and turned me into a spiritual one, says, "Don't be afraid, because I have redeemed you. I know your name. You're mine." So we say that again. Let's say that again. This is what the God that created you is saying. This very same God who took your carnality, wiped it out, turned you into a spiritual giant. "Don't be afraid, because I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, and you are mine." You are God's. He owns you. Your life has been purchased by God. You are His possession and His property. Now, you are not just His possession and His property, you are also His beloved bride. So don't be afraid. What is it that is scaring you? God says, "Don't be afraid, you belong to me." What is it that scares you, perhaps, about another person? Parents are frequently afraid for their families, for their children. "Don't be afraid, they belong to me also." "No one has plucked them out of my hand," in John 10:10. So don't be afraid. You belong to God, and no one has taken you out of His hand. So you need not be afraid of anything. Why? Because He's redeemed you. If He had not redeemed you, then maybe you would have cause to be afraid. But He has redeemed you. That means He has purchased you. And Peter told us that He did not purchase us with perishable things like silver or gold, but He purchased you with His blood. So don't be afraid, you're His. Don't be afraid for your friends. Your friends belong to God. Don't be afraid for your children. Your children belong to God. Don't be afraid for your lives. Your lives belong to God. Don't be afraid for your spouse. Your spouse belongs to God. Don't be afraid if you're a child for your parents. Your parents belong to God. Don't be afraid. Simple. Don't be afraid. Now, there is not one word of God that will ever fall to the ground. There is not one word of God that will ever return void. And the Word of God says, don't be afraid. There is no need for paralysis out of fear. A person who has a paralyzed faith due to fear does not realize that their life belongs to God. They do not realize that they are in fact redeemed. Now, whether you feel redeemed or not doesn't matter one hill of beans. It changes absolutely nothing. The fact is, you are redeemed. You've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. No one can take you out of God's hand. And even if you fail, His everlasting arms are underneath of you. And in Romans 14:4, He will make you stand. So don't be afraid. So now let me ask you, what is it that scares you? Your life scare you? You don't have a life. God has your life. Your life is Christ. Are you afraid for Christ? I have news for you. Nothing bad is going to happen to Christ. Your life is Christ. He's purchased your life. You don't have your own life. That's in His hands. Do you think God is going to drop you? Do you think that God will not be able to come through on time? He made time. Israel had a problem with time. It looked like God wasn't going to come through on time. What did God do? He stopped time. Do you think He's unable to do it again if it's necessary? He is no respecter of persons that He should favor Israel over you. Don't be afraid. It's simple. Don't be afraid. If you're young and you're afraid you won't find your spouse belongs to God. You belong to God. How hard do you think it will be for God to put you together? Well, I don't know. I've got this thing in my right hand and I've got this thing in my left hand. All you got to do is clap. And now you have it together. A little smushed, but nevertheless. Don't be afraid. You have problems in your life and you're not sure how they're going to end up? Don't you realize that all things are from God? That the fact that those problems exist are simply things that God brought into your life to conform you to His image? That He actually has His hands on you as He is molding you through your circumstances? Don't be afraid. People are afraid. They are. People are afraid. The Word of God says, don't be afraid. God said, I have redeemed you. I have called you. Not only have I called you, but I called you by name. And you are mine. That's the end of the story. What are people afraid of? Circumstances, people, appearances, themselves. What are you afraid of? God is not a respecter of persons that He should be afraid of people. Why do we fear people then? Because we're respecters of persons. It's that simple. But what if they hurt me? How are they going to hurt you? Between you and them is this amazing wall called God. But they might hurt my feelings. Oh, you mean the divine sandpaper God is using to polish you off so He makes you nice and shiny, so He can see His reflection in you as He's conforming you to look like Him. That's rough. Don't be afraid. What if somebody thinks something negative of me? You think God can't deal with them? Do you honestly believe that God cannot deal with people who aren't right with God? Don't be afraid. You are God's possession. You are His workmanship. You are His bride. And you are His property. What do you think happens if a strong man has someone break into his house and people try to take his property? They get pummeled. What do you think happens if somebody pokes God in the eye? They get pummeled. You don't get pummeled, they get pummeled. But they might do something against me and God will pummel them. But I caused it myself and God will pummel them. God is a good pummeler. Yes, He's a redeemer, but He also knows how to pummel. Don't be afraid. As a believer, if you live in fear, you will be paralyzed. Don't be afraid. Now, I'm not saying that as a believer that if you have some trepidation, you will be paralyzed. Living in fear is different. Living in fear is the point where I simply cannot trust God because I'm so afraid. Don't be afraid. And by the way, if you feel like you cannot trust God because you are afraid, then even if you don't believe, He abides faithful. He abides faithful. So stop being afraid if you are afraid. Why? What is there to fear? Well, I'm seated in heavenly places and I'm afraid of heights. And you can't fall out of God's hand. Don't be afraid. The enemy brings fear. He brought it to Eve, he brings it to us. He brought it to Adam, he brings it to us. Don't be afraid. This is totally not the message that I prepared. Don't be afraid. Why? You're redeemed. What does it mean that you are redeemed? That means He took you back to Himself. That means that even if you left on your own accord, He takes you back to Himself. That means even if you blew it because you're the one who blew it, He takes you back to Himself. Even if you have a tremendous debt, He paid your debt, He takes you back to Himself. Even if you are a basket case, a train wreck, a car wreck, whatever wreck, He takes you back to Himself. You know why people are a basket case? Because they're afraid. I've never met a happy train wreck. You know why it's not happy? Because it's afraid. something bad's going to happen. Somebody's going to do something bad to me. Somebody's going to say something that'll hurt me. People will judge me. There's another one Christians love. People will judge me. I'm afraid that people will judge me. I'm afraid that people will misunderstand me. Well, then they have an opportunity to get to know God and be right with Him, don't they? Don't be afraid. The fear of man is a snare. Right? The Word of God tells us this. The fear of man is a snare. So don't be afraid. What if I make mistakes and then those mistakes cost me and I spend years in those mistakes? Then in Joel 2:25, He will restore what the cankerworm has eaten away. What if I fail? Then He'll pick you up. What if I fall? Then He'll catch you. What if I cause it? Then He'll catch you anyway. What difference does it make who causes it? By the way, folks, you know that little thing is, what if I make the mistake? What mistake have you ever made that you haven't made? Right? Sure. People are afraid of making mistakes. What is it? God's not faithful because you made a mistake? Your mistake changed God? Big mistake. Not that big. You're still on earth. He's still in the universe, everywhere present, all at the same time. Still omnipotent. Still the Creator. Don't be afraid. What if I hurt my kids? Your kids belong to God. How do you hurt your kids? Well, I can make mistakes and hurt my kids. Your kids belong to God. Do you think God is incapable of having the Holy Spirit protect your children, even in the face of your mistakes? Do you think the Holy Spirit suddenly gets weak because the kid is your gene pool? It may be your gene pool, but you're God's dirt. God made your gene pool. Don't be afraid. And if you are a born-again believer, you're God's gene pool anyway. Isn't that like one of the biggest worries parents have? I'm going to hurt my kids. You know what? If you want to do the best by your kids, learn how to follow God without abandon, without one eye on your kids, one eye on God. That way you go cross-eyed. And you wobble around a lot and you don't do anything quite right. Double-mindedness. Same as being cross-eyed. Stop being afraid for your kids. God owns them. You don't own them. God owns them. They're God's possession. They're not your possession. They're God's possession. They're just on loan to you. Now remember when they were born. So what? God remembers when you were born. You remember when you were born? God does. How many hairs do you have on your head? Anybody? What are you afraid of? God knows how many hairs you have on your head. Don't. I'm afraid of myself. There's another one. I'm afraid of myself. I'm afraid of what I'm going to do. Well, He owns you. If you totally blow it, He'll catch you. What are you afraid of? Well, somebody may do something and may really disturb my life. Really? Isn't God all around you? Are you not in Christ? Is He not your shield? But what if they do something that will hurt? You mean there's something that God doesn't allow that somebody can do? Don't be afraid. The Word of God says, all things are from God. All things are from God. Ponder that for a while. All things are from God. If God did not permit it to happen, it wouldn't happen. But what about Satan? Didn't Satan have to get God's permission in Job 1 and 2 to do anything at all to Job? All things are from God. Don't be afraid. It's a cruel world. So what? Isn't it true that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? What if I don't have money? Doesn't he say that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that he shall supply all your needs? Then if you ask him for bread, he won't give you a stone. And if you ask him for eggs, he won't give you a serpent. Don't be afraid. Sit right there. It's not hard. The world says to you, look at everything. The world says to you, if you're not afraid, you're closing your eyes. You know, there's a time to close your eyes. Really, there is. What is it that scares you? Why don't you close your eyes? I don't like heights. If I get way up high, let's say on some building or something. Remember, we were in Caracas and we went on the roof of this really tall building. I don't know how many stories it was, but it was really tall. One of those huge skyscrapers, and up on the roof, and you know, you can see over the edge, though you don't get to the edge, and you can just see over the edge, and you're like, oh. You know what really works well? Sit down, close your eyes. That's it. But that's not being practical. Oh, it's being eminently practical. Why should I stare at the things that are not of God and be afraid of them? When God says that all things are from Him, when God says that all things are for my sake, when God says that He'll never leave me nor forsake me, when God says that He'll take care of my life, when God says He purchased my life, He said, I'm redeemed. So why bother looking at things that are not from God, not of God? Don't be afraid. What are Christians afraid of? I'm afraid I'm going to be misunderstood. Christ was misunderstood. Oh, I'm afraid that I'm going to share Christ's experience. I'm afraid that I'm going to have something in common with God. You see how the thinking can go on a person? I'm afraid I'm going to be misunderstood. No, you're just going to have something in common with God. I'm afraid what people will do. Unless their hand is bigger than God's hand, they're not going to do beans. But they could. Not unless God allows it. And if God allows it, it's for your sake. It's like going to the doctor. People are afraid of the doctor, right? But they go to the doctor anyway. They're afraid because the doctor's going to give them a needle or something. Right? Isn't that the case? Or maybe they'll say, oh, he's going to cut. Isn't that the case? Well, yeah. But isn't it for your sake? I mean, is the doctor giving you the needle to torture you? If he is, you need to find another doctor. Don't be afraid. Why? God's on your side. Has that ever occurred to you that God is actually on your side? But what about the other person? They're a believer. God's on your side. God can take care of the other person. He's on your side. You don't worry. What did Jesus say to Peter? What is that to you? You follow me. Right? We worry about the other guy. What is that to you? You follow me. Now, if God's character is what God says His character is, what are we afraid of? That somebody will be unkind to you? That someone will hurt you? That something will go wrong? that something bad will happen? You know what? God knows the end from the beginning. You know what He says? You're victorious. God knows the end from the beginning. You know what He says? You're more than conquerors. God knows the end from the beginning. You know what He says? You're an overcomer. God says you win. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of now? You win now. As a matter of fact, you don't just win now. You already won yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. You were born winning. The fact that you are a believer means that you were born winning. You can't lose. Afraid you'll mess it up? Mess what up? You're afraid that you'll miss the boat? The boat's not going anywhere. You can't miss God's boat. How do you miss a boat with God? You know what? If in fact you could miss the boat with God, God would simply translate you like He did Philip, and you'd find yourself on the boat. Or maybe He would say to you like He said to Peter, come on, just walk to the boat. Don't be afraid. Are you afraid of the natural laws? If I get out on the water, I'll sink. He's the God of the natural laws. He made them. He's bigger than them. He can repeal them anytime He likes. He did that, didn't He? Didn't He rebuke the storm? Didn't He walk on water? Didn't He raise the dead? Didn't He heal the blind? Didn't He heal the lame? Didn't He make you? Didn't He take that which was not alive and make it alive by breathing into it the breath of life? What are you afraid of? Doesn't the Word of God say that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the same one who made all of the universe. The Holy Spirit is the same one who made you. The Holy Spirit is the same one who breathed life into you. The Holy Spirit is the same one who seals you. The Holy Spirit is the same one who protects you. The Holy Spirit is God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why can't people just stand in faith? Because they're afraid. Why do people in their own unique individual ways run, although it may not involve their feet? Because they're afraid. Don't be afraid. Folks, think about it. What is it in your life that scares you? Here's one. Are you afraid that you're going to miss the boat so bad that you won't have a life with God? Does that scare you? You already have a life with God. Didn't He say that He won't allow you to be plucked out of His hands? You already have a life with God. You already have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You're already sealed and redeemed and restored, and you already belong to Him. There's already a plan for your life. There's already a purpose. There's already a call. You're not going to miss a life with God. You already have it. How do you miss what you already have? Yeah, but what if I make decisions that are right and I'll take myself out of that plan? Isn't it up to Him to guide your steps? What's the matter? Are you afraid He's going to get them wrong? Do you think He's not big enough to make sure you end up in a specific place? Yeah, but I have a free volition. Isn't His bigger? I have news for you. God's hand is bigger than my free volition, and God's hand is bigger than your free volition. You ever play chess? Don't you put the piece wherever you want it? You have a bishop, you take it. The bishop doesn't move himself. You pick up the bishop, you put him on the square where you want him. You pick up a knight and you put it on the square you want it, and each one is moved according to their portion. If you can do that with a chess piece, do you honestly think that God cannot do that with you? Now, if you take the ratio of sizes and compare yourself to a chess piece, God's ratio of size compared to you is bigger. In other words, God is stronger than you, more so than you are stronger than the chess piece. It's easier for God to move you than for you to move that chess piece. So are you really afraid that you're going to miss the boat and not have a life with God when you already have one? And are you afraid that somehow you're going to lose that life with God when God said no one can take you out of His hand and that is the foundation of your life with God? Don't be afraid. People are afraid, and so they're afraid of faith. People are afraid, and so they're afraid to rest. People are afraid, and so they're afraid to be confident. Here's one. People are afraid, and so they're afraid to be faithful. Don't be afraid. God knows your name. That's pretty good. Have you ever seen that picture? If you haven't, look it up on the internet. It's called the pale blue dot. Have you ever seen that? Well, that pale blue dot is unbelievably precious to God. And despite the fact that you are minuscule on that pale blue dot in size, yet you are the apple of God's eye. So you're not all that minuscule, are you? Are you concerned that maybe you're not important enough? Didn't Christ shed His blood for you? Apparently, God does feel you are important enough. Doesn't God call you His beloved? What did you think, that was for somebody else? Doesn't God call you His bride? Thought that was for somebody else? No, it was for you. Stop being afraid. Don't be... Oh, here's a good one, college students. You afraid you're going to blow your classes? Didn't God say that He is intimately concerned? Didn't God say that He inclines His ear to hear? Didn't God say He orders your steps, not your leaps? People think God doesn't order their steps, that He only orders their years. No, God orders your steps. That means moment by moment by moment by moment by moment, little bit by little bit by little bit, however big your step happens to be, He orders all of them. I'm afraid I'm going to blow the exam. Why? Because I didn't study. Should have. But you didn't. So, do you think that all things are no longer from God because you didn't study for your exam? But He'll let the consequences come, won't He? Only so much as they are for your sake and for your benefit. Do you believe the Word of God or not? Having trouble with that one? Do you think that your mistake is bigger than God's ability? Hey, but I think God's going to let me have what I deserve because I didn't, you know, whatever. Oh, Catholic are we? You know, if that's true, then I'm going to hell. Nobody goes to hell because God sent them there. People go to hell because they simply made the wrong choice. So you think your mistake is bigger than God, do you? What are you afraid of? Do you honestly believe that if you blew it, God won't be faithful to you and He won't help you? Tell me one thing that goes wrong that you didn't blow. college students have great confidence in your God in school. Yes, do things right before Him, honor Him, but have great confidence in God in your school. I remember a test my wife took, and this wasn't in college, this was actually to be certified for her job. Big exam, many, many questions, like hundreds of questions. All the little stupid nuances and intricate details and stuff. And she had a decision to make. Now, you stand or fall before God in your decisions, but she had a decision to make. She could either go to church in the wrap, and in the morning, bright and early, take the test, not having prepared, or she could go home, miss church, miss the wrap, and then take the test having prepared. Now, you got to be led in this, but she was led to go to church, and she said to God, I got this test in the morning. But she also said, but you told me I should do this, so I'm going to, but I have this test in the morning. Do you know that to this day she still has the highest score anybody ever got? Do you think God is unable to honor you, to take care of you, college students? Do you think that God is unable to take care of your educations and the education, the circumstances thereof? I had classes where I should have got a D, but I didn't. And it wasn't because my grades were that great, it was because God threw out the tests. That was pretty good. I'll never forget. Physics 2. Taught by a computer scientist. That was rich. The only thing I understood in physics 2 was relativity. I got a C, a D, and an F. And an A. The A was relativity. Okay. Got a C, next exam. On the D was a fire alarm. And all my years in college, I experienced only one fire alarm. And that was during that test. The dean said to the professor, you can't use that test. The next one I failed because he couldn't teach and I couldn't get it. Well, he had promised at the beginning of the semester he was going to throw out the lowest grade. And so one of the students says, you know, are you still going to throw out the lowest grade? He said, well, I promised I would. Next grade I aced because it was relativity, and relativity is easy. A and a C, I got to be on the exam. on the course. Isn't that amazing? A D, and an F, and an A, and I end up with a B for the course. But God knew that in order to continue in that, and at that time that was the call God had for my life, that in order for me to be able to continue in that, in my own thinking, with my own capacity, I had to get at least that B. College students, do you think that God honestly will not come through for you? Don't take your responsibility as being a greater portion in your life than God. It's not. Am I saying be irresponsible? Not in the least. I'm saying God is in charge of your college education. Don't be afraid. Afraid you won't have money? God can leave money in your bank account, you won't even know where it came from. I've seen it happen. Don't have food? God can have food in grocery bags on your doorstep in the morning, and you'll have no idea where they came from. It's like that joke. Who was it? I think it was Pastor Lev. I don't remember, but some of you didn't hear it, so I'm going to say it again. Lady kept praising God for everything. Her neighbor was an atheist. And one time her neighbor hears her pray, God, I need food, I have no food. God, please give me food. In the morning she finds all these bags of groceries at her doorstep. And she says, thank you, praise God, He gave me food. And the neighbor comes, ha, there is no God, I bought you that food. And she says, praise you, God, thank you, you gave me food and you used the devil to pay for it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of Satan's crowd. Don't be afraid of Satan's devices. Don't be afraid of other people. You know the only thing I'm afraid of? To step out from the will of God. Be afraid of that. But don't be afraid that you will if you have a heart after Him. Because He won't let you. So don't be afraid. Amen?